Well, hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at our Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in a series that we're calling Detours. We're really looking at the life of Judah and specifically looking at sort of this big idea that God uses even our wrong turns to get us to the right places. We're talking about the sovereignty of God, his amazing ability to take even the mistakes of our past and to still, in his goodness and in his kindness, to still be able to work in and through those mistakes to bring about his glory and our ultimate good. And we said last week, you know, that doesn't mean we should ever choose wrong purposefully, but it is a great comfort to us knowing that God can take even our wrong turns in the past and still, as we're saying, get us to the right places. It's a reason that we worship the Lord, that he is just that good and that sovereign and that powerful. And we're looking at that truth through the life of a guy named Judah, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And this week we were in Genesis 38, and there's a lot that goes on in Genesis 38, and it's an extremely messy situation involving Judah and his daughter-in-law, Tamar. He finds a wife for his oldest son, and that lady's name is Tamar. And his oldest son, Er, he is wicked in the Lord's sight, and it says that the Lord actually puts him to death because of his wickedness. And so in the ancient Near East, they had this custom where the brother of the deceased was actually responsible for taking the widow as his wife. And I told our folks, you know, I know that sounds crazy to us, and it's just like, oh my gosh, this is a horrible system. You actually see it codified into law in Deuteronomy 25 that, you know, if a husband dies, his next brother is to take the widow as his wife and to care for her. And the oldest son of that relationship is actually considered not the son legally of the brother, but of the deceased husband, right? Of the deceased brother. And so again, we, to sort of our modern sensibilities, that sounds, I mean, like what a horrible system, but I encouraged our folks just to remember this is before any sort of system of welfare, right? Or Medicaid or Medicare. Like there are no social safety nets here. In a culture where family was everything, for a woman to lose her husband and to not have any children, that put her in an extremely vulnerable state. And so, again, as strange as it may sound to us, this actually was a solution. This solution was a way of providing for and protecting the woman, right? The woman, the widow, who's in a very, very difficult and vulnerable state. And also for perpetuating the family line, which was so very important, right, to their culture. Family was everything. So having, you know, a son and heir. So it was a way of keeping the dead brother's name from dying out, in a sense. And so as I was kind of reflecting on that, there's an aspect of that, right? Caring for the vulnerable and the poor. This is something that you see over and over and over across the Old Testament, over and over and over across the New Testament. You see it throughout the entire Bible, and that's that God cares about the vulnerable, the poor, and the marginalized. In the Old Testament, not only do you see this law here, right, for protecting and caring for the vulnerable widow, but you see God commanding things like when the Israelite farmers went out and harvested their crops, they weren't to pick up the part of the harvest that's the grain that fell behind, right? When the first time through, they wouldn't capture all of the crop, and some of it would fall to the ground. And God commanded them to leave it on the ground, to not go back and try to get everything out of your harvest, in a sense. And the reason was for the poor, for the foreigner, for the marginalized, to be able to come behind, and those who didn't have their own property could come behind and glean from the ground what had fallen, and so they could provide for themselves. You get into the New Testament, and you see in Galatians chapter 2, Paul and Barnabas are meeting with Peter and John and James, that all these leaders of the New Testament church, and you're thinking, man, what are they going to talk about? And as Paul and Barnabas are leaving, Paul says, they didn't add anything to our message. They just told us to remember the poor, the very thing that I was eager to do. And I mean, I was reflecting on that, right? That these leaders look at each other and they're like, hey, just make sure that you remember the poor, that was so important to them. You see all across the New Testament, obviously Jesus' concern for those who are sick and hurting and poor, the vulnerable. You see really multiple commands through the New Testament for those who have more, who are wealthy, to be rich toward the Lord, to give away and be generous and share with others. James talks about in his letter, right? What is pure religion? He says, religion is this, to keep oneself unstained from the world and to look after widows and orphans in their affliction. God cares about the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized. And that really should be expressed in God's people caring for the poor, for the vulnerable, and the marginalized. And so I talked through on Sunday, you know, the ways in which LifePoint, how we as a church approach this and how we partner with organizations that are serving the most marginalized in our communities. But right now, I really just want to encourage you personally to think through in your own life, in your family's life. Are we expressing that concern? Well, I guess the first question would be, do you just look inside your own heart and life and see, yes, there is a concern there, a love for, a care for the poor, the vulnerable, and the marginalized? And, you know, take all the politics out of it and the approaches of how should we do that best. And just the first question is there a concern there? Is there a care and a love for, like, God, you've given me more than I need. I want to be able to share with those who are in need because I recognize that's a concern you have. And that reflects the heart of my Father. And then secondly, maybe to ask the question, okay, if the concern is there in my heart, how is that playing itself out in action? What are the ways in which, you know, I personally or our family are expressing that love and concern for the poor, for the marginalized, for the vulnerable? Because I just know in my own life, you know, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. It's one thing to say, yes, right? I care about folks who are in that, you know, position, who are in experiencing difficulty. Okay, but what am I doing to really act that out, to work out my faith, right? James says that faith without works is dead, right? If I love the Lord and I say I want to reflect his heart, okay, I have to take some steps in obedience to do that. Not in any way, shape, or form as a way of works-based righteousness, but again, faith expressing itself in those good works. And so I want to encourage you just to take a moment. I'm going to pray for us, and then I want to encourage you to pray for yourself today and just reflect on that question. Lord, you know, we see your concern for the poor, for the marginalized, for the vulnerable all across Scripture. Is that reflected in my own heart? And are there some steps that I need to take maybe to serve, to give of my time or my resources to those who have less as a way of, again, reflecting the heart of my Father? Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God who loves, a God who cares, a God who sees us and sees our needs, and you richly provide for us, Lord. And we know that you have a concern and a care for those who are on the margins of society. And God, you call your people as the body of Christ to take up that concern and that care as well and love others well and to share, God, when we have more than what we need, to give to those who have less than what they need in a season. And Father, to really show the tangible love of God as we meet needs, Father, to connect that to why we do it, because we serve a God who loves and who cares and who knows what people need and ultimately has provided for our greatest need, our spiritual need for salvation and forgiveness provided in Christ. So Father, help us to live that out. Help us to love others the way that you love us. Ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. And take some time now just to pray and reflect for yourself.